There was a Greek philosopher named Heraclitus who once mused, "No man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river, and he's not the same man." I love that quote about how the ways our lives change, the seasons move around us. We never come back to being the same people. And while Heraclitus certainly didn't have Joshua and the Israelites in mind when he wrote that, it certainly is true for our reading for today. The Israelites had stood on the banks of the Jordan River before. This wasn't their first time hearing God offer these teachings. A generation before, God had liberated the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt and had guided them out, promised to bring them to a land of freedom and abundance, a promised land, the Bible says. But when the Israelites got to the banks of the Jordan River, one of those great geographic boundaries of the Promised Land, they realized that settling into the region, moving into the promise that God had given them, would not be as easy as going for a stroll in the park. A scouting expedition had returned with mixed reviews. "It's true," they said, "the Promised Land is great for farming. There are plenty of pastures for good ranching. There are grapes the size of our heads, it feels like. This everything we need to build a vibrant and thriving community is here. There's just one problem. There are already powerful tribes and armies that live there." And if you've ever heard the story of the man who caught the fish, and you know how that fish that broke his reel grows a little bit every time he tells the story. Every time the spies told the story of the people that lived in the Promised Land, they got a little bit bigger. Until finally the report comes back that there are giants that live in this land. And not just any kind of giants, not just a bunch of Kareem Abdul-Jabbars running around. These guys are like half-god, Hercules, Goliath-like people that will squish us like grasshoppers. I don't think it's a good idea. There's only two members of that scouting expedition, we're told. Joshua, who you see appear in the story again, and Caleb. They're the only two that say that we shouldn't turn back. We can do this. It's almost as if Joshua turns to the group and says, did you all just forget what happened? God just freed us from Egypt, the biggest, baddest nation this side of the Euphrates, and here we are, a free people. I think we can do this. And despite his rousing speech, the Israelites just can't muster up the courage. They can't see themselves as filled with as much possibility as God sees them. So instead, they wander in the desert for a generation. And the desert, though, it is this place of testing, but it's also a place of transformation for the people. But through trial and error, they learn that God will provide for them in any circumstance, no matter how difficult it may be. They learn to trust in the power of God to overcome any challenge or any difficulty. They learn about God's faithfulness and forgiveness and love, no matter how many mistakes they make. So when we find the Israelites here again on the banks of the Jordan for the second time, we realize that they're not the same people as they were before. Something has changed. Something is different about them. And I couldn't help but think that the same is true for the Anabaptists. If you're a guest with us today, it's worth noting that as a congregation, we're committed to wrestling with this creative tension that always exists between tradition and innovation, between celebrating the rich practices that have brought us thus far, but also finding creative new expression to these life-giving traditions. We don't worship the past, but we do use it as a guide for creative thinking about the future. And we're confident enough in ourselves to admit that, like the Israelites, we haven't always got it right. But that's what being a community of faith is about. It's not about always having the right answers. It's about a journey of exploration and discovery, of trying new things and celebrating when it works, and also admitting when it was good just to do that once. We've been on this journey as a church for the past few years. We've reaffirmed our belief in God's calling to us, as Ward beautifully prayed about, that since our founding, God has called us to change lives, to transform our community through not only preaching, but living out God's love in the world. We've focused on creating a mission-centered, outward style of ministry that is relevant to the hopes and needs of our neighbors. We've been talking and dreaming about spiritual growth, of authentic community, of bold mission, and I'm proud today, as a pastor about to approach his fourth anniversary, of the difficult decisions we've made, of the decisions that we're still willing to make, all in order to be faithful to the mission that God has given to us. And so we stand today on the banks of the Jordan River, a different people than we were. But as the Israelites learn, discovering who God has called you to be and what God has called you to do in this world with your one wild and precious life isn't enough. I mean, realizing that you may be called to volunteer in children's or youth ministry, or realizing that you have gifts of teaching that you can use for a mentoring program, or realizing that there's a neighbor in need that you feel called in your gut to help, it doesn't really amount to much if you don't act on it. Right? If you have a dream of what could be, if you know what God is calling you to, if you just stand on the banks of the Jordan River, all you have is wishful thinking. The Israelites should celebrate all they have overcome in the desert. Everything that they have learned, everything that they have become, but they shouldn't rest there at the riverside. They've got to keep going. God still has greater faith, greater hope, greater love for them to experience, but they have to take the next step. Imagine Joshua telling the people, look, it's true that God has provided for us in the desert. We saw miracles. We saw water coming from rocks. We saw bread coming down from heaven. This is amazing, but we're headed to a land of milk and honey, a land where we can grow and live and thrive. This journey has been good, but what's ahead of us is great. The message of Joshua to the Israelites is the same to us as a community of faith. It's the same to each of you as people of faith. We can't sit on the banks of today. We have to embrace the adventure of tomorrow. Must think about the kind of people we want to become. How do you want to be different? What space in your life do you want to see greater hope, greater faith, greater love begin to abound? This is what drives us as a people. We've been dreaming big dreams for Vienna Baptist as we look towards our future, as we cross that metaphorical river. In the fall, we'll be launching a year-long focus on discipleship. We use discipleship quite intentionally because it has the idea of intentionality to it, growth. That spiritual growth doesn't happen in our lives by accident. Right? We don't wake up one morning more loving people. Of course, my wife would love if that happened to me. But this is something that we grow into. There are our practices, our rhythms that we grow into. We spent yesterday, the deacons were on retreat, and I loved our conversation. We began reflecting on how so often in the lives of churches, we create this very flat and stale kind of religious practice, right? We want you to come and join a church, then we want you to give money, and then give some more money, and then give money, and then you can get a job, right, in the church. We'll find a committee for you, right? So join, give money, job. And that's it. And I'm sure you've all been very inspired, and you're about, I'm going to give an altar call at this point, right? And then we said, what is it like not to have a culture of filling jobs, but a culture of calling, right? Creating spaces in our lives to think about who God has created us to be. What are our gifts and talents, but also what are our needs? We need for fulfillment and meaning in our lives. And then how do we allow that to give birth to bold new dreams? To be open to new directions. To be a place where we discover meaning and purpose every day in and through the work of the church. That's being a very different kind of community of faith. And that's what we want to lean into. That's what we want to become more and more of. And that's for folks, whether they're coming and joining our community for the first time, but also creating these seasons for those of you who've been part of our church for a long time. What new direction is God calling you to? What new place of service? But discipleship is not just about this inward journey of spiritual growth. It's about an outward journey of mission and of serving others. And we refuse to be a place that just focuses on our own spiritual lives without paying attention to the needs of our community. And so you'll see the ways in which we'll be growing our partnership with Cunningham Park Elementary. We've been talking a lot about this over this past year, but we stand on the cusp of something new. Our church is leading an effort for the first time at Cunningham Park. We're going to create a unified school team of teachers and parents and local leaders so that we can coordinate the ways in which we deploy resources and volunteer hours. Rather than each group piecemealing things, we're all going to come together. If we have four churches and one PTA and various teachers, how about we all work on the same projects, the same initiatives. So many of the things you see in your bulletin today are just the first fruits of that. Right? Whether it's Generosity Feeds, which will go to support not only Cunningham Park, but other schools in Vienna and their weekend backpack meal programs. It's summer activity bags for kids so they can keep learning over the summer. Avoid that dreaded summer slide you teachers are always worried about. It's a summer library that'll take place in the apartments. It's building back a bus line that'll help families get to the library and the community center and the grocery store. These are the ways in which discipleship and mission take on new flesh and blood and action in our community. I'm excited about the next year at Vienna Baptist. I'm so excited that I wished I hadn't preached this sermon on communion when we have other things going on. I'd like to spend more time here, but it wouldn't be the Vienna Baptist way for us to talk about it, right? We might as well just do it. Just live into this new future. We'll make it up as we go. We'll try a few things once, maybe twice. We'll see what sticks. It'll be exploration and discovery because that's what the journey is all about. So I invite you this next year, join with me in prayer and expectation about what lies across the Jordan for us. Join me on the journey when you see these opportunities pop up. I want you to pay attention and pay attention to that feeling in your gut that maybe I should try that, right? Maybe it's not generosity feeds. Maybe it's not summer backpacks or activity bags. That's okay. There's plenty of ways to be involved. There's vacation Bible school. There's the ministries that happen in the church. There's City Gate. There are so many ways. And all of these opportunities are invitations to you to allow God to change you and shape you so that we could gather here a year from now and each of you could say, I'm a different person than I was last May. That as a community, we might say, we're a different kind of people. We've seen God at work in our lives, and I'll never be the same. Because it's that spirit of exploration and discovery, of tradition and innovation, of the inward and outward journey of discipleship and mission. That's the Vienna Baptist way. Let us be those people of adventure. Amen.